Today is a WREL weather alert day from our western counties back toward the Piedmont. We're looking at the potential for some strong thunderstorms. I'll show you the timeline.
Plus, more big decisions from the U.S. Supreme Court today, striking down Biden's student loan forgiveness program.
Also, we're just minutes away from a key ruling just one day before new abortion restrictions are set to take effect in North Carolina.
I'm Gilbert Bays in Fayetteville, where the grandparents of Jada Johnson have filed a petition asking state lawmakers to help them seek justice. I'll tell you what this is all about.
We have a threat for severe storms this afternoon, so today is a WREL weather alert day. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Ken Smith in for Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. So today is the first of four weather alert days in a row. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WREL Severe Weather Center with a look at what we can expect each day.
We have a level one risk for severe storms are part of our viewing area today and tomorrow. And then the focus shifts to the heat. We have our first heat wave of the summer of the year. A heat index likely to be up around 110 for Sunday and Monday. Most likely the Weather Service will issue a heat advisory for those days. We'll go over all of this, but let's start, of course, with today. Here's a look at the big picture. We had a cluster of thunderstorms that dropped out of Kentucky on down into parts of Tennessee. There was a little bit of rain associated with that, but very little of that actually reached the ground in our part of North Carolina. Here's a look at dual Doppler 5000 radar. A little sprinkle up in Mecklenburg County, Virginia. Otherwise, we are dry right now. Our level one risk for severe storms for this afternoon stretches from Raleigh westward. So we do have a good bit of the viewing area that's not under that level one risk for severe storms. But we'll take a look. We have cloudy skies. Those clouds have helped to keep our temperatures a little cooler this morning, but it's very muggy out there. There's lots of moisture. We may see the clouds breaking up a little bit this afternoon, and after that happens around 5 o'clock, there could be a handful of showers and storms that develop, and one or two of those could produce some severe storms, and that's likely to continue into the evening, especially down in our southern counties. We'll have another threat for severe storms on Saturday, and we're going to walk through the timeline for Saturday. It also looks like an evening event for us. We have air quality of code orange. This is our forecast for today. We're starting to see a bit of improvement. We take a look at the map, and you can see that most of Wake County has now become yellow. We're seeing our winds shifting now to southerly, starting to push some of the smoke out of our area. But we do still have counties in Durham and Western that are checking out in code orange. We'll talk more about our severe weather threats and, of course, the heat that's coming our way for part of the weekend coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. Any minute now, a federal judge is expected to decide whether to block parts of North Carolina's new abortion law. If nothing changes, a ban on abortion starting at 12 weeks is set to go into effect tomorrow. WREL's Destiny Patterson is live at the state legislature, where debate on abortion laws have gone back and forth for the past few months. Destiny.
That's right, Renee. A federal judge is taking a look at the abortion laws approved last month and deciding what adjustments might need to be made to make it more clear for both patients and providers. The confusion around these abortion laws has taken this issue to Greensboro for that federal judge to decide. Planned Parenthood says the law is vague, contradictory, and poorly written. But just yesterday, Governor Cooper signed a new bill to clarify the abortion law with the hopes of helping women and doctors. Now, this does not mean he fully supports that legislation, but there are two other sides to this. On one hand, you have Attorney General Josh Stein, who wants to block not the entire law, but just certain pieces of the law. And then you have the Republican legislature, which does not want to block it at all.
What Cooper signed off on, these changes that just went through with the governor's signature, both sides, both Planned Parenthood and the legislature, agree that that's actually going to fix a lot of what was in Planned Parenthood's lawsuit.
This morning, Planned Parenthood also said they would be speaking at 1:30 after that ruling comes down this afternoon. Now, we don't know exactly what that judge is planning to do, but we do expect it to be somewhere in the middle, making some changes to some things and leaving others the same.
Await that ruling. It could come within the hour. Destiny Patterson live at our state legislature.
Well, the U.S. Supreme Court closed out its term today with two significant rulings. One struck down the Biden administration's plan to wipe out billions of dollars in student loan debt. The court said the plan exceeded what the current law allows. WREL's Monica Casey has been speaking with legal experts about what this means. Monica, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. This 6-3 decision affects about 20 million people who would have had their student loan debt wiped out completely. The majority opinion says President Biden overreached his authority with this plan, but the dissent says it's the Supreme Court's majority that is overreaching its authority in this decision. Now, I spoke with Kate Sablosky-Ellengold, an assistant professor of law at UNC Chapel Hill. She explains in this ruling, the court struck down the existing program, saying President Biden did not have the power under this law to cancel these loans. However, it doesn't mean this can't be done in a different way.
And that's what the court said they can't do. The text of the HEROES Act does not provide them the authority to do what they were trying to do. That doesn't mean that a different law might not give the Biden administration or any future administration the right to do loan cancellation.
This program would have allowed some borrowers to cancel up to $20,000 in debt, and it was estimated to cost more than $400 billion. The loan forgiveness has been blocked since a lower court issued a temporary hold back in October. Ellengold says this decision is going to change the day-to-day lives of those who have student debt as they begin to budget and prepare to start repaying those loans. Payments that have been deferred since the start of the pandemic are set to be start being due again in October. Ken?
Monica Casey reporting live. Monica, thanks.
We told you there were two. The second big Supreme Court decision today limits LGBTQ protections. This is a case involving a Christian web designer in Colorado who refused to work on same-sex weddings. The high court ruled in favor of the designer, saying she has a First Amendment right to refuse work that do not align with her views. Justice Neil Gorsuch wrote the opinion, saying as a result, she cannot be punished under Colorado's anti-discrimination law for refusing to design websites for gay couples. Justice Sotomayor is one of three justices to dissent. She called this a sad day in American constitutional law and in the lives of LGBTQ people. Experts say this could lead to other discriminatory behaviors in sales and services.
Well, the grandparents of a Fayetteville woman shot and killed by police are taking new steps in their pursuit for justice. Their granddaughter is Jada Johnson. WREL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays was at an event this morning with her grandparents. He joins us now with what those new steps are. Gilbert.
Well, Ken, they filed this thing called a request for redress and prayer for relief. I have more on this in a second. But Ken, I want to tell you, I've been at just about every press conference that Jada Johnson's grandparents had. They, of course, they were inside the house when she was shot 17 times and died in front of them. And as you can see, they're not giving up seeking justice for her. Let me give you just a little background about the case for those who are not familiar. Tomorrow marks 1 year since police were called to Richard Iwanski's home because his granddaughter was suffering a mental crisis. Now, Jada Johnson pulled a gun and threatened to kill herself. And when she put the gun down for a second, officers subdued her. Then shots were fired. Johnson died at the scene. A few months ago, State Attorney General John Stein said no charges will be filed against the officers involved in Johnson's death. Today, the grandparents are filing, as I mentioned, a petition with the state. It's called a request for redress and prayer for relief. They want the process that determines if law enforcement officers should be held accountable in actions that lead to the death of a victim or suspect changed.
And I'm sending this to the General Assembly, and I'm asking our representatives to help me to get this up there in front of them so that they can act on it as soon as possible and stop these senseless killings by police officers using excessive force, negligence, or willful misconduct.
Now, in addition to this action, the grandparents have also filed a federal civil rights lawsuit in the case against the two officers involved and the city of Fayetteville. Again, the parents, grandparents, just hoping that this petition forces lawmakers to take a look at the current system and change how officers are evaluated in determining whether they should be held accountable. Ken, right now they're saying the system that is in place just is not working.
Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays reporting. Gilbert, thanks.
And good afternoon. I'm Brian Schrader in the WRIO Live Center. We have just received new information, new details about Apple's plans in the Triangle. WRIO has obtained a site plan for that area where Apple intends to build that RTP campus at Lewis Stevens Drive, just north of 540. We have confirmed that it would include more than 700,000 square feet of office space, 3,000 parking spaces, all over 41 acres, a total of six buildings. But what we don't know is when construction will start. It was back in 2021 that Apple announced plans to build an East Coast campus at RTP, creating at least 3,000 jobs. Look for updates later today on WRIL.com and the WRIL News app.
Brian, thanks. It could be a record-breaking day for travel at airports like RDU International, where you're looking live right now. The hazy skies out there. People are flying out or trying to fly out for July 4th following days of delays and cancellations. AAA predicts more than 4 million people will travel by air this weekend, the highest ever number for the holiday. Hundreds of flights nationwide are already delayed or canceled today.
Well, we could also break records on the roads. AAA reporting more than 43 million people plan to drive out of town for the holiday weekend. Today will be the busiest, with driving times 30% higher than usual. Your best bet to avoid traffic is to leave at 10 in the morning or after 6 at night.
Next at noon, why Durham Councilwoman Jillian Johnson says she is not running for re-election when her current term is up.
Also, a third night of unrest in France, what President Macron plans to do to stop the rioting after a police officer kills a teenager earlier this week.
Plus, extreme heat and smoke from Canadian wildfires blanketing the U.S., how communities are adapting to address health concerns.
Back in the WRIO Live Center, another story we're following. Oscar-winning actor Alan Arkin is dead. His family announced his passing this morning. Known for Little Miss Sunshine, Edward Scissorhands, Argo, so many roles over so many decades, and more recently in the Netflix series The Kominsky Method, Arkin was 89 years old.
He was in so many great movies. Brian, thank you. Another leader for the city of Durham is choosing not to run for re-election. City Council member Jillian Johnson announced she will be moving on from her position when her term is up at the end of the year. Johnson has served on the council since 2015. In a statement, she wrote that she'll be turning to helping progressive politicians across the country. She did not give a reason for her resignation, but pointed to distrust in government and political divisiveness. Johnson's announcement comes a week after Durham's Mayor Elaine O'Neill also announced that she would not be seeking re-election this year.
A third night of violent nationwide protests all across France led to more than 600 arrests and more than 200 police officers injured. Protests started earlier this week after police shot and killed a 17-year-old boy during a traffic stop. Angry demonstrators have put up barriers, thrown fireworks at police, set buildings and cars on fire, targeting police stations, schools, and town halls. 40,000 officers were deployed across France Thursday evening to put an end to the violence. The officer who shot the teen has been detained on suspicion of voluntary homicide. An investigation into the incident is underway.
The Biden administration could soon approve sending controversial weapons to Ukraine. Officials familiar with the matter told CNN the administration is strongly considering the transfer of cluster munition warheads to Ukraine. A final decision is expected soon from the White House. If approved, the weapons could be included in a new military aid package as soon as next month. Ukrainian officials have been pushing the U.S. to provide the weapons since last year. But the U.S. has been reluctant because of the risk they could pose to civilians.
Well, sky-high temperatures and ongoing smoke from Canadian wildfires have many parts of the country feeling and smelling like barbecue. Christina Coleman takes a closer look at how communities are adapting to stay safe.
Is this the way summer usually starts off? And the answer is not really.
Extreme heat and Canadian wildfire smoke continue blanketing much of the U.S., dampening summer fun for many people. Much of the country already seen abnormally high temperatures for this time of year, especially across the South, where the heat index could reach as high as 120 degrees over the coming days. And communities across Alabama, Arkansas, Mississippi, Louisiana, Tennessee, and Texas.
This is the earliest we've ever issued an excessive heat watch. And this is actually the most excessive heat warnings we've issued before July.
Meanwhile, hundreds of out-of-control wildfires continue burning in Canada. The smoke creating poor air quality levels in cities across the Northeast and Midwest, but the heat and smoke are not expected to end anytime soon.
The next few months in many parts of the U.S. and the continental U.S., we could expect above-average temperatures. Even after the fires are extinguished, there will be days where there's still an increased risk. We have more months of this elevated risk of lower air quality.
It's all prompting communities to adapt. At this summer camp in western Pennsylvania, fields, pools, and basketball courts that are usually full of activities are practically empty as counselors take the summer fun indoors to keep kids safe.
It's a new and unique experience for myself as well as my leadership team, and so we're taking it in stride.
Well, that was Christina Coleman reporting on over the rest of the summer. Health experts say checking the heat index and air quality levels in your area should become a daily habit. Similar scene playing out around here.
Yeah, in a daily habit, check in with us every day as we're checking your air quality and as well as the heat index, too. It is going to be hot as we approach 4th of July. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with how our air quality improving a little bit from early this morning.
Yeah, right around the Triangle area, Raleigh in particular, we're down to 89, so that puts us solidly in the yellow. Yellow is a level that we tend to see fairly regularly in the summertime. Orange is where we start to watch out for folks who are in the sensitive groups, which of course would be the elderly, young children, or anyone with any heart or lung issues. We're about to trade our air quality for some real heat. Our air quality is actually going to go up, but then or get better, I should say. But then we're going to move into a very hot pattern as we get through the next several days. This is a look at who is still seeing code orange, and we'll zoom in on that. And of course, we're looking at code orange conditions from, say, Durham north and west. So we're seeing improving air quality as we are getting through the day today. We still have a forecast for code orange for a part of our viewing area, and it's code yellow for tomorrow. Let's talk about our severe weather threat. Again, we do have that severe weather threat from Raleigh westward. We take a look at Futurecast after we take a look at Saturday's, and you can see Saturday's severe weather threat includes a few more counties in the east. We also have a level 2 risk that is in parts of the western part of the state, including Greensboro and over towards Charlotte. So here's Futurecast for us as we head to the afternoon. You'll notice it's been cloudy. We've been hazy the last several days, but it's cloud cover that we're seeing right now. Definitely some smoky haze with that as well, but we are looking at that improving somewhat. Into the afternoon, partly cloudy skies late in the day, and at that point we could see a handful of showers or thunderstorms developing, especially down in our southwestern counties. There's 9 p.m. It looks like our potential for severe weather today is low, but the Storm Prediction Center still has us under that level 1 risk for severe storms, so we'll continue to talk about it. Let's jump ahead to Saturday, and you can see we'll likely start with some cloud cover Saturday, but we'll see some sunshine around lunchtime, and then into the afternoon once again, especially later in the day, we'll have a chance of some scattered storms. At 8 o'clock, you can see some of those from the Triangle area northward, and then that could linger up in the north up till around midnight or so. Cloudy skies here in North Hills as you're looking west across Wake County there. It's a little hazy and cloudy, 82 degrees the current temperature, and our dew point is 69. So that's up there. It's starting to feel rather sticky. The cloud cover today will keep us out of the 90s, though, looking at 88 in Raleigh, 87 Durham, and 90 in Fayetteville for this afternoon. We're sitting right there at steamy, almost at that tropical threshold, which is going to be 70 or higher. This is a look at the dew point and not, of course, the temperature. That's the measure of moisture in the atmosphere. Once it gets into tropical, it's that real oppressive summer heavy feel that we tend to see in July and August. And we hit that a little later today, and that's going to be with us all through the weekend and much of next week as well. That means it's going to feel hotter than it really is when we have a lot of humidity. Our skin doesn't, the sweat on our skin doesn't evaporate as efficiently as it does when it's drier out. And that makes us feel hotter. So looking at 102 for the heat index tomorrow, and again, we do have that chance for some severe storms. On Sunday and Monday, highs will be in the upper 90s, and the heat index will be close to 110. We don't see a heat index at 110 that often around here. Last summer, the highest heat index was 113, and that happened in early July, July 6th. For Tuesday, it's still going to be hot. We're looking at 101. 105 is the threshold for the Weather Service to issue a heat advisory, but it's also cumulative, so we'll likely have a heat advisory Sunday and Monday and possibly Tuesday as well. So those are weather alert days today and tomorrow, of course, for the chance of severe storms, and then Sunday and Monday for the extreme heat that we'll see across the area. The heat does back off a little bit as we get into next week, but we also have the chance for some scattered storms. We'll go over our thunderstorm chances through the weekend coming up.
We've been warned about that heat wave. Yikes, a heat index at 109. Elizabeth, thanks. Well, this 4th of July, we tell you this every year, leave the fireworks to the professionals. You and your family's safety depends on it. Today at 4, experts demonstrate the strength of and highlighting the danger that goes with pyrotechnics.
And at 6, a WRL investigation shows investigators found critical safety issues at a local apartment pool months before a 4-year-old boy drowned there. Tonight, we're pressing the apartment complex for answers about its safety protocols.
Here on this newscast, foodborne illnesses are on the rise. What experts say you should keep in mind ahead of 4th of July celebrations.
And the writer's strike we've been telling you about has reached now the 60-day mark. Coming up, the familiar actors now joining the picket lines. You're looking live at Clinton, rather hazy Clinton, and watching WRL News available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. You might not believe the cities where it's cheaper to buy a house than pay rent, and speakers from a big-name audio brand could catch fire. Maribel Aber joins us now from the Nasdaq market site in New York with that and more in these business headlines.
Audio equipment maker Bose is recalling bass modules sold under three brand names due to a fire hazard. The affected modules were manufactured before April 1st, 2006, and found in Acoustimass, Lifestyle, or Companion Home Theater Systems. The Consumer Product Safety Commission warns that some of the speaker's electrical components can fail, sparking a fire. So far, three fires have been reported, but no injuries. Bose is offering speaker repair or replacement. You can check the serial numbers at cpsc.gov. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has given the green light to two new RSV vaccines for adults 60 or older. RSV is a highly contagious respiratory virus that causes flu-like illness in people of all ages. The two vaccines are made by Pfizer and GSK, formerly called GlaxoSmithKline. The CDC's endorsement follows a recommendation by its Independent Vaccine Advisory Committee and approvals from the Food and Drug Administration. The vaccines are expected to be available in the fall. A milestone in the national writers' strike. It's day 60, and some notable names are joining writers on the picket line to show their support. Actors Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin were among hundreds gathered outside Netflix studios in Hollywood Thursday. Writers are demanding better pay, streaming residuals, and protections surrounding the use of artificial intelligence. The last writers' strike in 2015 lasted 100 days. Think of the top three U.S. cities where it's cheaper to pay a mortgage than to pay rent. And swipe anywhere in California, Florida, or New York, right off that list. Real estate brokerage firm Redfin recently compared the buy versus rent margins in the nation's 50 largest cities. Topping the list, Detroit at number one, followed by Philadelphia and then Cleveland, Ohio in third. As CNBC reports, the average mortgage in Detroit right now is just under $1,300 a month. And now the average rent right now is $1,700. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the Nasdaq Market Site.
From the roads to the skies, it's going to be a busy weekend for travel. A lot of folks getting started today. Next at noon, what you should know if you've planned a getaway.
Also, parents, you'll want to know about this important recall. We'll explain why Five on Your Side says parents should stop using this baby lounger.
First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers. Good luck.
The threat for severe storms this afternoon. So today is a WRL weather alert day. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a look at what we can expect each day, Elizabeth.
So we're looking at the potential for some severe storms from Raleigh westward. It's just a few of our western counties, and the models have been trending drier and drier all day. So I think our threat for severe storms today is probably pretty minimal. That's typically what we see with a level one risk. We have a level one risk again tomorrow, and then we switch to heat. And this is the first real heat wave that we will have seen this year, the hottest temperatures so far of this year. Heat index at around 110 Sunday and Monday, but we'll walk through what that will feel like each day coming up. We have a disturbance that, or a cluster of thunderstorms that dove right out of Kentucky into Tennessee. There was a little bit of light rain that showed up with that, but most of that was to our west. We're not seeing any of that at this point. So we do have a lot of cloud cover, but there's no rain currently out there. Again, this is our severe weather threat for today from Raleigh westward. We'll take a look at our severe weather weather threat for Saturday coming up in just a minute. Looking at a lot of cloud cover right now, it's possible that we'll see some thin spots in the clouds this afternoon, and that might allow a few isolated storms to pop up, especially from Raleigh southward. You can see the coverage is pretty light, and our chance of any of those being severe is pretty minimal. Maybe there'll be one or two that produces some strong gusty winds. Let's take a look at what's happening out there for Saturday. You can see that threat stretches a little farther to the east for tomorrow. Once again, it's going to be a late day kind of a thing, and we'll walk through Saturday in just a few minutes. We do still have a code orange air quality alert for it today, but we're really starting to see some improvement in our air quality. Take a look at this. This is the current map, and you can see yellow stretching all the way into Wake County. So from Chatham County northward, we just have a handful of our counties that are still looking at code orange. We should continue to see improvement in our air quality through the rest of the day today, and tomorrow we should be back to yellow. And yellow is an air quality level that we tend to see fairly regularly during the summer. It's not an action day like orange, where some people should stay inside.
Really important information as we plan for the holiday weekend. Elizabeth, thanks.
The Supreme Court handed the Biden administration a blow on the last day of the session and sided with a web designer who claims creating websites for gay couples violated her First Amendment rights. Bree Jackson explains.
In a 6-3 decision, the Supreme Court blocked President Biden's plan to forgive up to $20,000 in student loans. Had the student loan plan been upheld, more than 43 million people would have been eligible to have up to $20,000 in debt erased. The program has been on hold since last August when a group of Republican-led states sued the Biden administration. They said the executive branch does not have the authority to broadly wipe out debt. Challengers said only Congress has the power to create laws to do so. The Biden administration had argued it was acting within the law. The high court disagreed. In the other ruling, the justices sided with Lori Smith's argument that she is protected by the First Amendment from being forced to express messages through her work that she is against. She challenged Colorado's public accommodations law, which prohibits discrimination. This case is similar to one 5 years ago when a cake baker refused to bake a wedding cake for a gay couple on religious reasons. This case focused only on the First Amendment rights, with the court ruling 6-3 in her favor. Smith is an evangelical Christian who says she believes marriage should be between a man and a woman. The Biden administration backed Colorado. In Washington, Bree Jackson, NBC News.
We want to give you a live look now at RD International. It's shaping up to be a very busy travel weekend. And for airports and highways, records could be broken this 4th of July weekend. WRL's Michael Grace explains some people are still feeling the effects of days of cancellations and delays at RDU.
Yeah, well, things a lot smoother this morning compared to what we saw throughout the week. But take a look at what the morning rush was like here at RDU. This is around 5:55 in the morning. You can see the line stretching all the way to that back wall. And this is what airports across the country looked like throughout the week, with weather, with staffing issues. And so we had a chance to speak with some experts about why rental cars may be a good travel alternative this holiday weekend.
You're going to be paying a little bit less for your rental car than you did this time last year. And more good news, it's going to cost you a lot less to fill up your rental car than it did this time last year. In fact, you're going to be saving anywhere from $1.25, $1.50 a gallon.
Now, although things at RDU running smoothly, there have still been some cancellations. So rental cars, something to keep in your back pocket. At RDU, Michael Grace, WREL News.
No more free rides. You'll once again need to pay when riding the bus in Fayetteville. The Fayetteville Area System of Transit will begin collecting fares again tomorrow. This is for all fixed routes and paratransit services. The transit system stopped collecting fares in 2020 because of the COVID-19 pandemic.
If you get a parking ticket in Raleigh starting tomorrow, you might have to pay more or less based on a set of new rules. Regulatory fines like expired meters will drop to $15 if paid within 5 days, but impactful violations will cost you more. That means blocking crosswalks and parking in disabled spaces and residential zones will be more expensive.
You can see fireworks tonight. Franklinton will hold its Independence Day celebration tonight. It will be at the Franklinton Middle School football field starting at 5 this evening. The event will have live music, food trucks, games, and family fun. The fireworks will go off at 9. There are July 4th celebrations happening all over the Triangle this weekend. You can find a full list on the Out and About section on WREL.com.
And celebrating Independence Day on the water, we'll run through the boating safety checklist to keep you and your loved ones safe.
Plus, a business that's trying to reduce food waste gets you great discounts on groceries. How you can score these deals coming up.
Well, parents, listen up. We have a new warning about a dangerous sleeping mat for babies. Five on Your Side says parents should stop using this baby lounger immediately. You see it right there on your screen. The Consumer Product Safety Commission says the loungers are missing required safety features and labeling and are a suffocation risk and falling hazard for infants. The loungers were sold for about $60 on Amazon.
Your risk of getting sick from foodborne illnesses is back to pre-pandemic levels. The CDC says cases of intestinal infections from E. coli, salmonella, listeria, and other bacteria in 2022 matched yearly averages from 2016 through 2018. The rise is likely the result of the end of pandemic safety measures. Experts say you should always thoroughly wash and dry your hands when handling raw meat and do not leave food out at room temperature for an extended period of time.
A food app is bringing deals to customers just in time for the 4th of July. Flash Food is partnering with grocery stores to offer families discounts on products that are nearing their best buy date. Many of the app's deals often happen on or after a major holiday like Independence Day. Along with providing discounts, the company is also working to prevent food waste. Users can purchase items directly on the app and then pick them up at the store in Flash Food's designated fridge.
Pet owners in Wilson County will no longer have to pay a fee to keep their animal. Starting tomorrow, Wilson County Animal Services will no longer require the animal privilege fee, which applied to all pet owners. The move is part of a newly approved budget.
We'll have a great and heartwarming update about a cat that was shot by a pellet gun in Cary. Well, this is Frank, the tuxedo cat. He's now back home with his beloved owners much sooner than expected after he was shot by a pellet gun in Cary Tuesday. His owners tell us he's a bit wobbly and may likely be that way for the rest of his life, but they're so grateful to have him back home and recovering. If you'd like to help in Frank's recovery, there's a link to a GoFundMe on our website.
Still ahead, a couple woke up to a surprise when they discovered an alligator had entered their home. Find out how coming up.
Also, authorities are urging boating safety ahead of the holiday weekend. We'll share a few ways to stay safe during the 4th of July celebrations coming up. Well, the 4th of July holiday weekend is upon us, and people all across the country and here at home are celebrating our Independence Day.
One popular pastime is heading out on the water in a boat. Kim Quizon shares a few ways to stay safe.
Devin York has grown up on the water.
Florida native, third generation Floridian.
While many Floridians will trailer their boats and head to the nearest boat launch for the 4th of July, you'll find Devin docked.
4th of July, I stay away from pretty much all other boats and just keep clear because you never know how they are as far as driving because most people have rentals and they are terrible at driving.
As captain of Hook One Fishing, he's seen a lot.
There's things that people will hit like pilings and bridges and even other boats and stuff, and you get 200, 300, 400, 500 boats out on the water this week, and you'll see some stuff.
The Coast Guard reminds boaters, make sure all safety gear is on board, including a fire extinguisher and life jackets for everyone, and for those at the helm, stay sober.
It's not just boats on the water that need to take precautions. It's also people at the beach and in pools.
It's really important to designate a water watcher and to make sure that you have someone who are watching your kids, your elderly, the folks who are in the water.
While lifeguards don't expect riptide conditions like those in the panhandle, they say to know where you are swimming.
Once you get to the beaches, look for those lifeguard flags, look for those lifeguard towers. If we're flying anything other than a green flag, that's probably a good indicator that there is some sort of hazard in the water and that you should check and find out what that hazard is.
You don't have to overthink your plans, but take it from a Florida native.
Just be cautious, watch your surroundings, and just don't go crazy.
That was Kimberly Quizon reporting. A popular Texas-based gas station and general store is trying to come to North Carolina. Bucky's wants to build in Nevin, which is over in Alamance County. It would offer 120 fueling stations, more than 600 parking spaces, and a huge building. It is the holiday weekend, and Independence Day celebrations are happening throughout the Triangle.
Yeah, here's a look at your best bets from WREL's Out and About. The fun starts this weekend with EnoFest. Enjoy live music, a craft show, and more at this annual event at West Point on the Eno. The festival is happening tomorrow and on the 4th. Tickets start at $10.
If you're looking to catch some fireworks, you might want to go to Fuquay Varina's Independence Day celebration tomorrow at South Park. Gates open at 6 p.m. There will be a splash pad, food trucks, and live music. And then after sunset, enjoy a great fireworks display.
Let's keep the fun going on Sunday in downtown Smithfield with the Red, White, and Brew Food Truck Rodeo and Independence Day celebration. From 1 to 6, you can enjoy food trucks and craft beer. After 6, head to the newly renovated Neuse River Amphitheater for Smithfield's Independence Day celebrating, featuring live music and fireworks. There'll be a lot going on this weekend.
Yeah, so much fun planned. Mm-hmm. And so many of those plans depend on what's going to happen with the weather. We do know it's going to be a scorcher of a weekend.
Yeah, let's get over to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WSWR Weather Center. First, we've got to deal with the air quality.
Our air quality is improving nicely. Early this morning at, say, 4 a.m., when, about the time we went on the air, the air quality was, the number was 150, and that puts us almost at code red. So we've seen things not drop nicely down to 89 right now. That puts us at yellow. We still have a few counties that are at orange, and the forecast is for orange today for a good part of the viewing area. We'll take a look here. We've seen a lot of improvement across the country, especially up to the northwest of us. And here's a look at where we're seeing code orange right now. And that's going to be from Durham County to Chatham County and northward north of I-85. A lot of our viewing area now code yellow. Code yellow is a level that we see fairly regularly during the summer. We have a lot of heat and humidity that tends to trap pollution at the surface, but not in a way that's going to cause any real problems. Now, we get into code orange, and that's when it can be tricky for sensitive groups like the elderly, young children, or anyone with heart or lung disease. You just don't want to overdo it outside when we have code orange. Of course, we go from there to code red, code purple, and then I believe on to maroon. So, you know, it's code orange is just, you know, if you're in the sensitive group, and that is our forecast for the remainder of the day today. We have a lot of cloud cover. We had a disturbance way back up in Kentucky that dropped into the western part of the state and spread these clouds across our area. Goldsboro and Durham looking cloudy, Apex and Chapel Hill. Chapel Hill courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. We haven't seen any rain. There's a look at that disturbance again that started way up here early this morning in Kentucky. Lots and lots of lightning, but all of that dove right into Tennessee and on down into Georgia. We did have some rain that showed up on radar back to our west, but we haven't seen really any of that falling in our viewing area. We do have that level one risk for severe storms in our western counties. The models continue to trend fairly dry, so it would not be likely that we would see any severe storms today. And that chance is pretty low tomorrow, too. It's just a level one from, say, the Triangle area westward again tomorrow. We take a look at Futurecast kicking things off today. Right around lunchtime, we're looking at some cloud cover. The clouds might thin a little bit through the afternoon, and then there could be an isolated shower or thunderstorm that pops up. But most of us will stay dry for the rest of the day today. And again, our severe weather threat is pretty minimal. We'll keep it going all the way to Saturday. We'll likely start off Saturday with a little bit of cloud cover. You can see 7 a.m. And again, just here and there, there could be an isolated shower that pops up. There's a little better chance on Saturday that we have a bit of a line of storms that develops during the evening, and maybe one or two of those could produce some wind damage. Holiday weekend storm chances today, again, our chances look pretty minimal. Tomorrow, about a 30% chance. Sunday and Monday, it's a 20% chance. Tuesday, a 30% chance, which may be a little more significant if you're trying to head out to watch fireworks on Tuesday. But, you know, it seems like the communities across our area are starting their 4th of July celebrations today, and any day through the weekend, you could see one. So looking at mid-90s for highs for July 4th, at 9 o'clock, temperatures are probably still going to be around 85 if you're looking to get out and see the fireworks. We continue to have a disturbance. So sitting off the coast of North Carolina, it is unlikely to develop into a tropical system. But we do have moderate rip current danger along the coast. That could go up over the weekend with that sitting offshore. And we had a lot of water rescues from rip currents up and down the coast, especially at Carolina Beach yesterday. So just be careful if you're headed off to the beaches. So weather alert day today and tomorrow for that chance of a few isolated storms. And then on Sunday and Monday, this is where it gets really serious. We're going to have a heat index potentially up around 110, which is fairly unusual for us, especially this time of year. And then July 4th, looking at a high of 95, heat does begin to back off for us next week.
And just into the WRIO Live Center, a federal judge in Greensboro has just issued a ruling about North Carolina's abortion law and that lawsuit that was challenging parts of that law set to take effect tomorrow. We are analyzing this right now in the WRIO newsroom. We can tell you that most of that law will take effect tomorrow, but parts of it will not. At least parts of that temporary restraining order have been granted. Again, we're working to analyze this, and we'll have updates through the day here on WRIL TV beginning at 4 o'clock and, of course, on WRIL.com and on the WRIL News app. More after this.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today.
In the last 15 minutes, a federal judge ruled most of North Carolina's new abortion law ban will take effect tomorrow. The judge issued a temporary injunction against parts of the law that deal with requirements for the physicians. This means most abortions will now be banned after 12 weeks in our state.
The U.S. Supreme Court struck down the Biden administration's attempt to forgive billions of dollars in student loans. The 6-3 decision says the plan oversteps the law that was cited when the administration developed the plan. It did leave room to forgive the debt under other legislation, including laws not yet written. Student loan payments start again in October. The ruling was the court's last of the term. The grandparents of a Fayetteville woman shot and killed by police are taking new steps in their pursuit for justice. The officers who shot and killed Jada Johnson during a mental crisis will not face criminal charges. Today, her grandparents filed a petition with state lawmakers. It asks to change the process that determines whether law enforcement officers should be held accountable in such cases.
Well, a French fireman set two world records while on fire. Jonathan Vero torched both Guinness World Records in France in the same run. Take a look at your screen here. Vero accomplished the fastest full-body burn 100-meter sprint without oxygen in 17 seconds. He also broke the longest distance recorded in the race. The Human Torch accomplished the feat on the same track where he trained in his youth. Well, time to celebrate all those friends and relationships you've made online. It's Social Media Day. Celebrate the day by making a post on your favorite social media platform. You can also find a social media meetup in your area, share your favorite meme, or connect with someone you've not spoken with in ages. Use the hashtag Social Media Day to connect with even more people.
A couple in Louisiana had an unwanted guest enter their home through the doggy door. Yes, that's an alligator. Don and Jan Schultz found the 5-foot-long gator last Friday. They called police to get it removed. After it was safely removed, the Schultzes made sure to upgrade their doggy door to one that only opens for their dog, Panda.
I can't even imagine seeing that.
Let the professionals take it away.
Stay in your lane with that. Well, here's our pet of the day. Meet 2-year-old Winona. This mama dog was rescued along with her 4 puppies for life-saving care by the SPCA of Wake County. Her puppies are all grown, fully healthy, and already adopted. Winona is looking for a loving family to give her to the center for attention. You can bring her home for a $95 adoption fee. To learn more about Winona, visit SPCA Wake.
Only the gods may be able to lift this champagne. A French winemaker announced the largest size bottle of sparkling wine named Belair Zeus. The massive 45-liter bottle weighs more than 100 pounds, and it requires about 3 people to pour it. Only 2 of the Zeus-sized bottles exist. Both will appear on World Tour, where fans will be able to win prizes if they can lift the bottles.
How does it taste, though?
It's a lot of work. It better taste good.
If you're going to do all that, make it worth it.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Cheers. Mm-hmm. NBC News Daily is next on WRL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Well, you can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRL News app. Have a great day and a good weekend.
Stay safe with the latest WRL Weather Alert Day info. Get up to the minute weather and traffic conditions when you get in your car. In Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5.